Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we good?
Oh, we're good, JD. We got sports back.
He just potted me up. He said, JD. And it, you know, usually when you do that, you leave him down until he's ready. Like, I could have gone, oh, S. And that would have been a world of hurt.
That would have been bad.
Sometimes working at home can be a little tricky when you're not sure of the break times. But we're back with you here.
I mean,
2 hours down, 2 hours to go. We've both been in that spot before, Steven, running the board, where it's like, wait, if you ask a guy if he's there, you got to, you know, usually you pot him.
There's the, okay. The worst one is when you get the buttons all mixed up and you get the feedback in your ear and, you know, some people, you're saying, you know, you get the, you're hearing yourself back and it's kind of like, what is happening? But the one thing, JD, after the working from home, it's been my favorite with, I think, every single host, it's the eating on the air. Some hosts forget that their mics are so hot that then they start eating their breakfast or their lunch in the middle of the show, and it's just something they do in their home. And then you hear, like, what is that? What are you eating, a turkey sandwich? it's been interesting so far with everybody, with everyone working from home, but you know what? Let me take this time though, JD, and I just want to do this as a guy kind of, a guy who's been working behind the scenes for the last 4 or 5 years or so. I gotta give a shout out right now just to every single engineer throughout the radio kingdom, because they're all the ones that are making this happen right now, and it's certainly not easy. So just wanted to give a quick shout out to all the engineers out there. Tim Jordan, Brian Tonneson are the two that I primarily work with. They've been terrific throughout this entire thing. So just wanted to give a quick shout out, JD.
No, absolutely. Shout out to all those guys as well. And I'll be honest, you caught me grabbing one last bite during the break. I don't ever bring food over to where I am, but I will get up and walk away. And I'm usually, I think there's been one time, this would be close to the second time in the last 4.5 months where I haven't been there at the start of the segment. But it's tough because, yeah, you get a little laxed, I think, at times during the break, and you aren't following the clock because, you know, I don't have a big digital clock right in front of me.
Right.
So I have to make sure I'm checking the fan, you know, checking my phone or checking you know, the TV or something like that to kind of in my head keep that internal clock of, all right, how much time before we're back?
Yeah. I mean, you do better than most, JD. I'll give you props with that one.
I do.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely do. And I will take those. I will take those props.
Hey.
Coming up at 12:30, I mentioned this before the break. We are going to rerun an interview from yesterday, Bonte Steiny and Guru. As I was filling in along with the Butcher Boy Joe Shasky for Bonte and Steiny, Guru was there, and we had Angelo Cataldi of WIP in Philadelphia, longtime radio personality in Philly, and he had a regular weekly show with Gabe Kapler on their station, and they went at it with regularity during Kapler's tenure with the Phillies. And Cataldi did his show, at least a portion of it yesterday, just eviscerating Gabe Kapler for the decision that he made, you know, and the gaffe in the ball game on Thursday night, not knowing that he couldn't take Tyler Rogers out of the game in that top of the 10th inning. So he crushed Gabe Kapler, and then he came on, and it's an interview you don't want to miss in terms of perspective. So that's a couple of different guys from Philly. I know Howard Eskin was on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he said flat out, you know, Gabe Kapler's got no shot to succeed here. Angelo Cataldi echoed that sentiment yesterday.
did Cataldi at least preface it with, he's a nice guy. I like him as a person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
all
no,
right.
And you know what? I don't think that's, you know, I know that seems to be like, I mean, you're kind of making fun of that a little bit, but,
yeah.
You know, I do think you need to draw the line, though, because, you know, and I said this last week, you know, look, the Giants are 4-4, but, you know, it's, and that's fine, like that, but, you know, Gabe Kapler, I was doing the show with Whitey last week, and, you know, we were talking about, like, do you remember the press conference that he had, like his introductory press conference, do you remember that? Like, do you remember how awkward and uncomfortable that was with all the questions about the Dodgers situation and the cover-up regarding, you know, assaults,
yeah,
and you know, alleged assaults, and you know, so it just, you know, people questioned Gabe Kapler as a human that day for close to an hour,
yeah,
you know, very little of it was about baseball. And, you know, he had to defend himself, and he did the best he could, as uncomfortable as it was, and Farhan did the best he could to defend the hire. And the reason I bring it up is because, you know, I do think we can make a distinction about a guy as a human and a guy as a manager. And look, I give Gabe Kapler credit for all of the things that he did and said, you know, in leading up to the season, when it came to, you know, he took a knee in, you know, during the national anthem, and you know what? That's his choice. And he came out and he explained why he did it. And he came out and he said, hey, I want to have an open dialogue about issues in this clubhouse. And I want everyone to feel comfortable in sharing their views and understanding what's going on and to get better as a society. And he said he took a knee because of, you know, police brutality and systemic racism. And he, you know, I give him credit for doing that. That's his right to do that. And I think, you know, everything that he has said about that, you know, from how he handled his own decision to the discussions of the team to even how he handled, you know, Sam Coonrod's situation when Sam Coonrod decided to go the opposite way on that. You know, I give credit to him for all of those things. Like, I think it's pretty clear that he's gone out of his way. Whether people think he's a good manager or not, that can be debated, and we will continue to debate it. But the one thing for sure that Gabe Kapler doesn't want anybody doing is debating whether or not he's a good guy or not. So I think it is important, and it is fair to make a point to give him credit for that. Now, that doesn't matter a lick as to whether he can actually manage a baseball team effectively or not, or knows the rules, or is going to make the right moves, or is going to be able to win enough to keep his job.
Right.
Like, those two things can be independent from each other. But let's not act like Gabe Kapler didn't think that he had to, you know, fix his personal reputation in addition to his baseball reputation as a manager with the Giants, because I think he knew he had to do both, and he's making every effort to at least try to do it.
Yeah, and I think the reason that they kind of prefaced it with that is just because, you know, a lot of things, especially within sports talk, and I've for sure been guilty of this, but you get one guy who says something about a certain player or a manager, and other people take it in a totally different way than it's meant to be portrayed. And I think that out here in the Bay Area, there are a lot who are pretty guilty of that. I haven't even listened at WIP in Philly, but I can guarantee you Cataldi probably wasn't prefacing it with that. just because he does, like in Philadelphia, they just wanted to probably rip him on Philadelphia sports radio. But I'm actually really looking forward to hearing that because wasn't Cataldi the one who questioned him about Gene Segura and relating it to the Andrew McCutchen yes. injury?
Yes, because Segura yes. didn't run out the pop up
right,
and the I can't remember who they were playing, but the opponent let it drop, and then McCutchen got himself into a rundown where he blew out his knee. And yes, we actually played that yesterday too before we had Angelo on, and then got his take on that as well. Yeah, they had a heated exchange on that. And yeah, Angelo explained that as well.
Okay.
In
right.
the interview that's coming up. So yeah, no, it was all in there. And again, he had very, very strong opinions of Kapler as a manager. That's why, and I'm not coming down your road, but I do think it's fair to separate. Like, that's why I don't kind of mock the, you know, well, he's a good guy, but he's a terrible manager. Like, both things can be true, but the reality is, you know, Kapler spent, you know, 45 minutes in his introductory press conference basically defending himself as a human.
Right.
So, like, so if he wants to go out of his way to show people that hey, I'm a good human, I have no problem with that whatsoever. And I tip my cap to him for him to, you know, to be able to do it and be able to improve in that area, because I think he's got a better chance of showing everybody he's a good guy than he does at showing everybody he's a good manager.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, everyone seems to have called that introductory press conference uncomfortable, but you know what? I didn't find it. I found the questions there. There was that story coming out. So really they felt like the need to ask those questions and really grill him on all that sort of stuff before coming to San Francisco. But, you know, my lasting impression after that press conference wasn't necessarily it wasn't necessarily criticism of Gabe Kapler and who he was. It was just an awkward time. And instead of, you know, asking all the questions about, you know, maybe his views of the Giants during their World Series tenure, how maybe he's seen Bruce Bochy and how he approaches the game. And they focused on that a little bit. But overall, you know, I really don't try to judge any of these guys as who they are as human beings when they show stuff on the court or on the field. I just try not to do that. And I think a lot of it, you know, it gets lost with sports fans, JD. It just does.
Yeah. Look, both things can be true. So, you can be a good guy. It was an uncomfortable press conference, just to go back to that. It was uncomfortable, but it was necessary. Like it, you know, given the circumstances, it just had to play out that way.
Right.
Now I'll be honest, my concerns were more about him as a manager. It was more about is he going to be able to, you know, and I've said this a bunch of different times, is he going to be able to use what the front office wants done in terms of the lineups and the roster? Like, is he going to be able to implement it effectively while explaining it to the players in a manner where they are accepting of it? Is he going to be able to understand why the organization wants to handle things a certain way and explain it to the media properly, thus explaining it to the fans properly? And is he not going to be so overwhelmed with all of that that he misses things in game that pop up? And I think you look at what happened on Thursday night and you could make a case just based on his explanation after the game. You know what? Let's go ahead and hear it because I want to react to the way he responded to it, because this goes to exactly why I worry about Gabe Kapler being able to manage. So Kapler, he comes out, he's going to pull Tyler Rogers. He can't pull Tyler Rogers because Bailey had just been out there. And it's embarrassing, and then he tries to get in front of it after the game. Here's Kapler.
All right, I'll open it up here. I know everybody's going to be asking about going to get Rodgers when I did, and that was just a mental screw-up on my part. I've been around the game for a long time, and I just had a lapse in memory, things in the dugout. We were talking about a lot of different things and popped out there and went and got him, and obviously that was just a mental screw-up on my part. So just wanted to own that, 100% my responsibility, and then happy to open it up and talk about the game.
So my concern there is it's not even about the gaffe, although it's embarrassing. It's more about his explanation in saying, okay, there was a lot going on in the dugout. We were having conversations about a number of things. So I just, you know, I made a mistake. Well, no, you can't do – like part of like, you having the job is being able to filter all of the information that goes on. More information now than Bruce Bochy maybe would have to filter through.
Right.
You know, in a normal situation. But you got the hire because you are deemed capable of handling it. You need to be able to deal with Kai Correa telling you one thing and what another coach is telling you about. Like, you have to be able to facilitate all of that stuff behind the scenes and still be able to know that you can't walk out to the mound to take him out of the game in that situation. Like, you have to handle all of that. And if you can't handle that, if you get lost in the moment, then I wonder how many other times you get lost in the moment when you're supposed to make one move and you don't execute it properly. It's as simple as that for me. And there were other things within that game that are, was he trusting the numbers? Was he trusting his gut? What's he doing? Like, I think all of those things are problematic for him. And I also think the more he has to explain and own mistakes, the worse it's going to get.
I almost want him to go into more detail about why that mistake was made, because Giants fans right now having a tough time transitioning into a team which is clearly analytically driven, starting from Farhan Zaidi. But I think that if he would have went into detail more, then that would have been a wake-up call for Giants fans and saying, look, this is how it's going to be in the future. Now, Gabe Kapler might not be the guy, and he made the mistake, but it doesn't matter who the manager is. This is how we're going to run things. This is how we are going to do it 5-10 years down the line, and this is how we think we are going to be having success, hopefully, when we have an 162-game season starting next April. This is what we are going to do. We're not just going by the gut. We are going to have conversations. It's not just going to be one manager. We are going to have conversations among all the coaches. Hell, even at, from the top, it's going to be a collective thing. And that's just something that Giants fans are going to have to deal with. And me personally, I'm totally fine with dealing with that. Now we talked about this a little bit earlier. They still have some work to do as far as the analytics side of what goes on in the games, but it seems like right now, as far as the development and choosing players who they feel like the analytics show that they could turn into a pretty good baseball player, then they've done pretty well with that so far. So it's just really, I think it would have been for as Giants fans, I feel like they should have heard a little more in depth. Now, Gabe Kapler doesn't want to, I mean, he probably doesn't want to reveal too much to the fans. Like, you know, he doesn't want to reveal all his strategy, like, to everything. But I do think that, you know, we got to get it through our heads. Like, this is the way that baseball is heading. And if you're not okay with it, then sorry. Sorry about that.
I mean, I'm okay with the direction of baseball. I just think, can he execute it? Like, that's my thing.
Totally.
Is he going
totally.
To be able to execute it? Because to me, you could have hired, you know, Joe Espada, the bench coach of the Astros, and that would have come obviously with its own scandal, because, you know, of what wound up coming out about them. You know, you could have hired
Raul Ibanez was another one.
Yeah, you could have hired the bench coach from the Rays too, which I think, and you know, that's another one that could have been in play. So I think when you hire the highest, like, of all those guys, Gabe Kapler was the highest profile guy, right? I know Raul Ibanez was a player, but you could have hired some guys that I think would have fit the narrative of, you know, all right, this team is retooling, restructuring. You know, they hired the, in some ways, the biggest personality of the group. And the thought that I was left with was, why would you do that? Like, why would you even bother doing that?
Yeah.
When, you know, nobody would have a problem with Espada. No, you know, nobody would have a problem with Ibanez. Nobody would have a problem. Like, it just, it, I don't know. It just, it was curious to me. And look, maybe he wanted that. Maybe Farhan Zaidi, and I mentioned this earlier, maybe Farhan Zaidi wanted somebody that is going to be a bigger personality in terms of dealing with the media, because it's going to help deflect from what's going on behind the scenes. In essence, you know, in some ways, you're sacrificing Gabe Kapler by putting him out in front of everything while you're maneuvering behind the scenes to get the franchise back to where you ultimately really want it to be.
Do you credit, though, the Giants' success right now to Gabe Kapler being the manager and keeping these guys together and at least, you know, building them up for the season? Or do you put more credit to the players ultimately and what they've been doing so far? Because again, 4-4, I know that's the record and I'm not saying it should be any different, but they shouldn't have been in that game in the first place to get to extra innings. And who knows, that gaffe might not have even been made. And we'd just be looking at that as another big, you know, a crooked run sort of loss where they lose by five, but instead they actually came back and they were in that position. So would you credit that to Gabe Kapler, or are you more on the player's side with that?
Well, he'll get credit for his record.
Because
no
I think he he deserves that for them starting 4-4. I know it's early in the season, but I do think that what gets lost in all of it, he does deserve a little credit for the way the season started so far.
I think it's a little, but like I'm not one of those that like I'm not going to say, well, he deserves credit for them being 4-4 if they wind up 24-36,
right,
or if they wind up 25-35, or they even 26-34, like. You know, you can be like, I think we get too carried away with what does every little game mean at the beginning of every season. I don't think that's indicative. I mean, it may be especially true this year because there's only going to be 60 and we're so excited to have sports back after not having sports for 4.5 months. Mm. But I think typically we do this at the beginning of every year because it's just, oh, 4-4. Oh, good job. You know, we thought it was going to be, well, you know, what did we really think it was going to be? 3-5?
I mean, right.
Okay. Well, if they were 3-5 right now, would it mean they're awful? I mean, you know, versus, 4-4, maybe they're actually decent. Like, for me, it's too early to tell. So does he get credit? Sure. He gets credit. I mean,
right.
He gets credit for his record. But ultimately, I find it more silly to go out of my way. And look, I'm not saying you're wrong for feeling the way you do by any stretch, but I find it silly to even think that I have to actually say I give Gabe Kapler credit for this team being 4-4. Like no, I really don't have to give him credit for being 4-4. Now, if they wind up going 32-28 or even 30-30, then I got to give him credit for it being better than I expected it to be. But 4-4, nah. Not really. Like let's let it play out a little bit more.
Who knows, JD? I might be preaching even year next Saturday if they have an over 500
well,
record.
I hope you're preaching. I hope you're preaching. Hey, they're having a game because
yeah. True.
You know, some of the back and forth the last 24 hours. It's not good. I do want to get to real quick here, and we are going to have the interview yesterday, Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. As I was in and Joe Shasky was in for Bonte and Steiny with Angelo Cataldi of WIP in Philadelphia.
Mm.
He pretty much eviscerated Gabe Kapler when we had him on yesterday. We'll get his take on it. It was a great interview, one you won't want to miss. Before we go to the break, though, and we will get into some NBA conversation and some football in the final hour of the show, I wanted to give the official Major League Baseball statements on the Phillies, Marlins, and Cardinals.
Okay.
MLB has released this just within the last couple of minutes. After two Cardinals players tested positive, the entire team was tested in Milwaukee using rapid COVID-19 tests and saliva samples that were also sent to the MLB lab. The rapid tests added one additional Cardinals player and multiple staff members to the positive list. They still, though, have to confirm that with the test that goes to the lab. So based on the results of the rapid tests, the scheduled game between the Cardinals and the Brewers has been postponed. The Phillies have postponed everything, and it looks like the Phillies are going to be in a position where they will resume Monday against the Yankees. The Marlins at this point are set to resume on Tuesday against Baltimore. So they're doing some schedule shuffling there. But they are attempting to move forward while they wait for the Cardinals tests. And while they, you know, wait for the Cardinals tests, they're not going to play this weekend.
2020. I mean, what more can we say about sports, JD? I can't believe it. Just hearing you say all that, man, it's just, it's tough to hear, really. It seriously is. I can't really say more than just 2020 with a frustrated sigh.
No, I mean, it really is. And again, we're bringing all this up because I woke up this morning thinking, well, a couple of more Cardinals are probably going to test positive and the season's going to be in significant jeopardy. Rob Manfred has tried to tamp that down this morning in an interview with Carl Ravitch where he said, hey, he's not, you know, planning on quitting and that he wants the players, you know, as he related to Tony Clark, to take things a little bit more seriously and that they are still at this point going to attempt to move forward. Whether they can finish the season or not, obviously will remain to be seen. All right, coming up next, Angelo Cataldi. We'll re-rack that for you on Gabe Kapler. John Dickinson, Stephen Lankford. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson, Stephen Lankford. More phone calls coming up at the top of the hour. We'll switch gears a little bit. It's a good baseball conversation this morning, Stephen, and on into the afternoon about the Giants. And, you know, I think it's fair to call it a surprising 4-4 start. They have not looked as bad, I think, as a, you know, overall as you would have expected. I think, you know, for good stretches of it, they have, but they've been able to win a couple of games, you know, late and win a couple of games via the home run ball that leads you to believe that maybe they could be over a 60-game year a little bit. Bigger, you know, better than expected.
Getting a few clutch hits here and there. And it's just the continued theme of what was going on with July, which was just the offense on the backs of Yastrzemski, Dickerson, and Solano. And it seems like these guys are the quote unquote late bloomers that you sometimes find within baseball. And it's been at least watchable, JD. That's really all I can ask. Even year though.
The headline this week, obviously, was Gabe Kapler and his mistake in the 10th inning on Thursday night. We had the absolute pleasure to have a chance to speak with Angelo Cataldi of WIP in Philadelphia yesterday on Bonte, Steiny, and Guru as I was in for Bonte, Shasky in for Steiny. Daryl the Guru Johnson was in as usual. And Angelo joined us for an informative interview regarding Gabe Kapler. The first question I posed to Angelo right out of the chute was about Gabe Kapler. Didn't take him long to have a gaffe, did it?
No, I'm surprised it took this long. Really, congratulations. He almost made it through the first week without screwing something up. I got to be honest. We didn't find out till about halfway through my show today, and everybody just laughed. And we all said, my God, he's doing it again. This is amazing. I'm not shocked in any way. Guys, you as talk shows are going to have a party, but Giants fans are going to go insane with Gabe Kapler. I promise you that.
Angelo, it's amazing. I mean, this guy managed 324 games as a Phillies manager, had talent, and was two games under. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, but already a weekend, you just said it, I'm pulling my hair out. But I want to ask you this. How shocked are you that Farhan Zaidi entrusted Gabe Kapler and basically ignored his stint in Philly? Because that's starting to bother me.
Well, there's two components to it. Like what happened last night, the gaffe within the game, right? We have Mitch Williams as a regular contributor to our show on Friday. He said he's been in baseball 40 years. He's never seen anybody screw that up to come out in the same at bat after the pitching coach came out. But here's the second part of it, guys. This routine he does where he announces he's proud of the team after a 12-7 loss. I don't know how that's going to play in San Francisco. This pride thing he loves to do is one of the dumbest, most insulting ways to respond to a game I've ever witnessed in any sport. And I've been doing this 31 years, right? This guy not only insults your intelligence during the game, he does it a second time in the news conference afterwards. He's just that voice. He's the worst manager or coach I have ever witnessed in my life, and I'm really old.
Wow, Angelo. I mean, I feel like we were separated at birth, even though I'm born and raised here in San Francisco. I got to ask you, I mean, before he even got hired, right, he's trying to replace Bruce Bochy. The guy's an all-time legend, unbelievable legend.
Great man.
And all I heard, all I heard from people from Philly, you're going to hate this guy. It's how he handles the bullpen, X, Y, and Z. And I don't have anything to contextualize it. Explain to me what happened in Philadelphia where he went to go get a pitcher who was not even ready. There was no one warming up in the pen. Explain that to Giants fans that are listening right now.
It was the first weekend that he managed, and he had only managed 1 year in the minors prior to getting this big shot here in Philly. And he fell in love with a really awful left-handed relief pitcher named Hobie Milner. And so this is the first weekend I'm in Atlanta, and he's not sure what he wants to do. So he begins the walk out to the mound. Simultaneously, Milner begins to warm up in the bullpen. Gabe arrives at the mound. Milner's thrown tops two warm-up pitches. And he signals for Milner to come into the game, right? Milner comes into the game. He hasn't warmed up at all. So Milner is trying to throw more than eight warm-up pitches because he's not ready to pitch. A big furor erupts. Atlanta starts protesting that he's got to pitch. And the umps don't know what to do because they know that if Milner pitches at that point, he could hurt his arm. So they go against baseball rules and let him continue to warm up. This is a huge catch. So I have Gabe on the next week, and I go, Gabe, what the hell is going on? How do you do that? You're a major league manager. How can you do something like that? And, he gets very, he has this, so we used to have just fight after fight after fight. And he basically goes, it's a very, there's no big deal about it. The umps did the right thing. I'll be fine. Just give me a little time. Then he did that last night. No, and don't get me wrong, guys, it's something you got to know. I don't dislike the man. As a guy, he's a really good guy, but he's a horrendous manager, and Zaidi's going with him. And I'll tell you this right now, fellas, Zaidi's got to go too. Because if this guy ignored 2 years of this of horrible managing in Philadelphia, and brought him to the Giants after Bochy, he doesn't know what he's doing either.
Angelo and Angelo Cataldi joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It's fascinating when you look at Farhan Zaidi in a way using some of his built up capital, if he had any, from last year. He finds a guy like Alex Dickerson who can hit some home runs. It looks like Mike Yastrzemski might be a player. People know that they're on a 2-3 year deconstruction rebuild. So I think there's a level of patience, that the Giants are in a place where they're going to have to wait it out a little bit. But I think the one thing that people out here have underestimated is the fact that they don't have a tolerance for incompetent baseball. And I think we could find ourselves in a situation out here where Farhan almost has to take more capital out of the bank in an attempt to try and double and maybe even triple down on this guy, because this year now is a free pass because of the pandemic.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a free pass. They have to reconsider this decision to bring Gabe in. Here's what Zaidi should have done. Right? He should have talked to people who understand baseball and have been around a while, who are associated with the Phillies. If he'd have had a 5-minute conversation with Larry Boa, he never would have hired the guy. Larry Boa was beyond, he would lose his mind watching this guy manage, right? The people that are on the team now, the players now, like Harper, the main guys, Nola, they don't rip Gabe, but now they just gush over how great it is to have Joe Girardi, a manager that understands the game. That's the way they do it. All Gabe Kepler is a creation of the analytics era. keeping completely separate the gauging a person's ability to function in a big moment, the basic things that Bochy knew how to do instinctively, Kapler has no instinct for whatsoever. Plus, he doesn't know when to take the pitcher out. You saw that last night. That was unbelievable. No, there's no aspect of the managing itself that Gabe Kapler actually is good at. No part of it. Not during the game, not relating to the players, and not talking about it to the fans after the game. He fails in all three areas, and you are just going to watch this thing. By the end, if they can get through 60 games, you will have had enough of Gabe Kapler. I promise you that.
Angelo, it's like you've already seen this movie, but guess what? You have. Last night, he knows everybody's coming for him on the Zoom call, the post-game presser, and you mentioned insult your intelligence. And, Angelo, I'm a fair dude, but it's how I felt. He grabbed the mic and goes, I know what you guys want to talk about. And he gave us his reasons, but he thought that was going to, you know, keep people from asking. And I'm looking at the TV like, this guy thinks just because he gave a State of the Union address, it's over. That's not how this works, but that's just part of who he is, right?
Yes. Oh, here's the thing. The iron pressure was he'd have an easier time of it in San Francisco. You know what we're like in Philadelphia, guys. We're hard. We are relentless jackasses. And we all went, you know, his act might play better in San Francisco. It didn't get through a week, and you guys are killing him. I love it. It's hilarious to us. Look, I've been doing this 31 years, guys. The biggest shock of my career doing talk radio, sports talk in Philadelphia, is that Gabe Kapler immediately got another managing job after he completely blew the 2 years he was here. I still can't believe it.
See, Angelo, I mean, I know that's a big shocker. I thought you were going to go the Giants beating the Phillies in the NLCS in 2010 and basically ending the Philadelphia Phillies run, but it's okay. I digress. I won't ask, is there anything...
I'm on.
What? It's all right. Is there anything Gabe Kapler does well? Like, honestly, if you were just... Is there anything...
He's a good person. That's
okay.
Normally, when you have a guy... I met him once in a restaurant, you know, separate from it. He's courteous, he's nice, he's a gentleman, he's likable in that context. The other thing I'll give him credit for, as a player, he was the kind of player I love. Played hard, played every play hard. But the other thing about him, he'll tolerate a guy who doesn't play hard. He will defend him, even though he'll know it's not right. He's the ultimate player's manager, but it doesn't even work with the player. Within a couple of months, they go, well, this guy's an idiot. I can't handle this. And it doesn't work there either. But he is, he hustled as a player, and he's actually a very nice person. But he is horrendous manager. Brutally bad. Think of the worst managers that have ever managed or coached in San Francisco. You got a guy who's worse than him now. I promise you that.
What's it like doing a weekly show with him, the ups and downs that go into that? Because obviously he knows it's Philly and guys are going to be coming at him and asking him, you know, tough questions. But what's that dynamic like?
It was an insult to my intelligence on a weekly basis. 9 o'clock every Wednesday, I cringed at the notion that I would have to ask him questions that I knew he had idiotic responses. The best one I can give you is when Andrew McCutchen was on first base and Gene Segura was at the plate. And Gene Segura hit a pop-up. And Gene Segura did not run at all toward first base. Andrew McCutchen didn't know what to do because he realized that the infielder would let the ball drop and they get a double play. So McCutchen was about 5 or 6 steps off first base. They let the ball drop, and they threw the ball to first. Segura was out, and then they trapped McCutchen in a rundown. McCutchen, a real quality player and a real noble veteran baseball player, gets caught in a rundown and blows his Achilles. He blows out his ACL, blows his knee out, done for on the show 3 days later, and I say, how do you feel about the way Ciccone handled it and how his laziness led to you losing your leadoff hitter for the season? He went crazy. He said, I don't know where you get that. There was no relationship between the two events. And he was adamant about it. And I went, yeah, but if Ciccone had run hard, McCutcheon, it wouldn't happen. McCutcheon wouldn't have been in the rundown. What you are saying is irresponsible, he says to me. And I'm going, well, does 1 + 1 not equal 2? And I could not, you don't understand, I could not get him to concede the point. And then Segura, like a month later, said he couldn't sleep at night because he had caused McCutcheon's knee injury. Oh, wow. But this guy never for a moment had enough respect for the fans to give an honest answer to a fair question.
Angelo, you know, just hearing you talk, listening to your exchange with him earlier, we have a here out in the West Coast, we have a thought that everybody's chill and you guys on the East Coast are too high strung and you guys are crazy lunatics, and you admitted that on the front end. What do you guys think of our media out here? Do you think we're too soft? Be honest.
Honestly, guys, I would move out there at the first opportunity because you have In-N-Out burgers and I really love them. But
Animal style.
Look, I can't. I'm not in a position of authority. I can't. I will acknowledge this, and I embrace this. I hope we're still the most demanding media in America, in Philadelphia. I hope we are. It's not quite what it used to be, guys. Honestly, and you guys are probably. Look, you guys have great sports radio out there. I'm not sure you're all that different, actually. Because a lot of people nowadays, they don't. We used to hold everybody's feet to the fire even more than we do now. I'm kind of like a dinosaur, you know. I would say that you guys are every bit as good as we are, and that you will hold Kepler as accountable as we did. And if you do, you'll have fun, and that you will finally leave as a manager and never come back.
Angelo, well said. We'll get you out of here on this one. I know you're not a psychologist. But do you think Gabe knows or hears about his shortcomings? And I say that to say, do you think he can change?
No. Well, that's such a great question. Because we said when he left and got to San Francisco, maybe he'll change. Maybe he's not a dumb guy. He's actually a very smart man, right? When he rolled out the pride thing after you guys lost last night, he said, I'm so proud of my team. They're so tenacious and all this garbage. We went, wow, same routine, different city. He hasn't changed one bit, not at all. He learned nothing from his failures here, and that means he's doomed to fail the same way in San Francisco. One and done, guys. That's my prediction.
Wow.
He will either get rid of him, because they would have done it. They should have done it here. There was a lot of debate whether he should even have a second year. One and done. He'll be gone, and everyone will look back and go, how the hell did they end up with Gabe Kepler?
Well, Angelo, great stuff. We really appreciate it. We actually played that back and forth before we had you on, that you had with Gabe over Segura and McCutcheon. It was mind-boggling. And as somebody, I went on record the day hired Gabe Kepler, and I said he has serious one-and-done potential. I've had to amend it because of the 60-game season. I think it's going to be hard for Farhan to not give his guy at least 162 before he makes the call. But I'm with you 100%. I think he's going to be out the door after 2021 for sure.
No, I think 60 is more than enough to see what Gabe's capable of. Don't sell yourself short.
Wow.
Thanks, Angelo.
I'll see you guys. Great to be on with you, fellas.
All right, Angelo Cataldi. It didn't disappoint, did it, Steven?
No, so I can hear, guys from the East Coast just talk all day. I love hearing them kind of just criticize and go after these guys. But I guess my main thing coming out of that right now, JD, is what is the one that it was just, I mean, there's a lot to unpack from that. The insulting his intelligence sort of aspect when it comes to it. But what do you think right now, and this is kind of what I was thinking throughout the interview, is what's the one question that you want answered for this Giants team right now from Gabe Kapler, if you have any sort of questions about the team?
Well,
because I got one that I really want him to answer.
Like his, I don't think there's anything specific. I just think that part of the reason he got the job was the fact that Farhan Zaidi knew that he would be relentlessly positive and upbeat mm-hmm. no matter how bad it looked, and it had the potential to look pretty bad. I also think, you know, look, if you're Farhan Zaidi and you know that it's going to take 5 years from the time you started and you're in year two to get this thing really humming like you want it, you also kind of know that your first manager has to maybe be somebody that could be at some point used as a fall guy. So this guy that's a relentless positive, you know, force that can make some decisions that make you squirm, but at the same time, you know, keeps the pressure off people looking at Farhan and people looking at Scott Harris. So I think there's an element of that, you know, I want to keep an eye on. There's an element of, you know, the fake, you know, does the positivity come off as fake? Because I think Angelo really touched on that. Like, it just, you know, like he just, it comes off as kind of phony.
My question, JD, is why are you still batting Hunter Pence fourth? How can you bat a guy going 0-for in the cleanup spot in the eighth game of the season? That's just the one question I want answered. The opening statement, don't know if I necessarily had a problem with that. I probably would have liked to maybe say, hey, I mean, you can open it up to any questions you want, but that's just really how I'm feeling. It's kind of like a, you know, sort of the Marshawn Lynch straight answer. I'm just here so I won't get fined. He's probably going to give the same answer no matter what question you even ask. And that's kind of what Angelo Cataldi is referring to. But I think just the one question I have, I don't get it. And if that happens again, I think that deserves a question after the game. That's just what I was thinking. 0-for-21 this year. I don't get it.
Yeah. And that's fair. And that has been asked about. But I think the other thing though, too, is like that isn't really on Kapler as much. And this is the fine line that we're going to have to dance, because like, it's so funny because like, I don't even look at that. Like, and Giants fans are going nuts about that, right? And I don't even look at that like it's even a big deal in terms of evaluating Kapler, because that clearly is something that's coming down from the analytics department, from the, well, he's hitting the ball hard enough, and we like his swing against this pitcher, and we think that his average should be better. You know, people were saying it about Brandon Crawford, too. I think Pence was 0-for-13, and Crawford was 1-for-13. And Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group, and he wrote, hey, you know, his expected batting average should be .307. And then he gets three hits.
Right.
Well, Bill, based on the hard hit rate and all of those things. Well, and then that night he's in the lineup when maybe people would not want him in the lineup, and he gets three hits. It hasn't happened with Hunter Pence. For as critical of Gabe Kapler as I have been and will likely continue to be, something like Hunter Pence is not something that I'm going to get all over him about because I feel like it's just that particular thing is not Gabe Kapler saying, I want him in there.
Right.
That's a collaborative with the data department.
Okay. All right. I got you. As we're heading into, I know we're going to discuss the NBA bubble coming up here in the 1 o'clock hour, but I do want to ask this as we, and I kind of wanted to tie what Gabe Kapler did on Thursday into the NBA bubble, but which was the bigger mistake by a coach on that Thursday? Was it the Kapler mistake with the pitching change and Tyler Rogers, or was it Alvin Gentry knowing that Zion Williamson was on a minutes restriction, yet somehow you don't stagger his minutes so he plays in the final possession of that game against the Jazz? That's my question.
The Gabe Kapler is like, again, the Gabe Kapler thing to me is worse. I mean, because I think the Pelicans are like, that is, there's something more to that. There's no way, like Alvin Gentry clearly is following the doctors, and it clearly was not as, you know, cut and dry as you have a certain amount of minutes, because before the game, he said he wasn't even on a minutes restriction. So something happened in that game where he was told don't put him back in.
Right.
And he didn't. Now, if I'm Alvin Gentry, I'm furious. If I'm Zion Williamson, I'm furious. I don't think Alvin Gentry was told, you have 20 minutes, use accordingly.
Okay.
So we'll get into more of that coming up, but I don't believe that. I don't believe Alvin Gentry is that, like, would do that.
Okay. All right.
Like, so, again, there's more going on there than I think meets the eye. All right, 3 hours down, 1 hour to come. John Dickinson, Stephen Lankford, live and local on a Saturday here, 95.7 The Game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.